Thanks, Dominic. Andrew, a question for you from Mark Dewar. He wants to know what gravitational waves you'd expect to see from something as enormous as the merger of two black holes.
Well, we should perhaps start just by saying what gravitational waves are. Although we have talked about them before, they're sort of distortions in the fabric of space and time itself that are predicted by Einstein's theory of gravity. And they're called waves because they're very much like waves that we're more used to, like waves on the surface of a pond where you see ripples, where the ripple kind of slowly moves across the surface of the pond. And it's not involving actually moving any water in that. It's just a sort of pattern that goes forward across the surface of the pond. And that's what gravitational waves are, except they're, instead of disturbances in the surface of a pond, they're disturbances in space and time itself. And there are various things that we think should emit gravitational waves. We currently haven't detected them directly, but we do have some indirect evidence that they are in fact there. So if we go to this black hole example, if black holes merge, we do in fact expect to get some gravitational waves coming out. And the particular signal we get is actually very interesting, because gravitational waves, like any other wave, have what we call a frequency. That's how fast, if you like, they're going up and down if you watch them. And they will be emitted by anything that's orbiting around something else. And the frequency will come out to be roughly the orbital rate. So if you imagine two things sort of going around each other, then a gravitational wave will be coming off that's rippling at about the same rate as they're going around each other. Now, those gravitational waves carry away some of the energy from the two things going around each other. So if you have two black holes in particular going around each other, they send out these gravitational waves. That carries away some of the energy. And as a result, the black holes start to spiral towards each other. They're always losing energy. They're getting closer and closer. And as they get closer, they actually start going around each other faster. It's a fairly simple result that you can get out of Einstein's theories of gravity. As they get closer, they spin around each other faster and faster. So the frequency of these waves goes up. And if you were to turn it into sound, you would hear a noise that starts very low as they're a long way apart and going around each other quite slowly. And then as they get closer and closer together, it goes higher and higher. And in fact, it sort of gets higher at an increasing rate. So you get what we call a chirp, where the gravitational wave frequency goes up and up and up, and right towards the end it gets extremely high indeed. And then there's an actual point at which the event horizons of these black holes actually collide. And beyond that, we think there's another phase we call the ring down phase, which isn't quite as fun as this chirp phase. But gravitational waves from black hole mergers, because they're such a distinctive signal, are in fact one of the first things that direct gravitational wave observatories are trying to detect.
So rather than seeing essentially a huge splash of gravitational waves when these black holes collide, you'd actually see this very distinctive pattern where you have the frequency going up a lot, and then what would we expect to see in the ring down?
Well, I think the ring down is quite hard to understand because it's to do with very detailed relativistic arguments about what happens to the two event horizons as they merge. And in fact, the best models we have of this use computer simulations to work out what we're actually going to see. But it's not that sort of splash moment, as you call it, is not so exciting. It just sort of decays away and is over pretty quickly. It's the chirp that comes before it that people are really excited about finding.